seated.
Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Don, for those beautiful songs. What a wonderful way to begin our worship on this beautiful fall day, right? Today is the first day of fall. It's incredible. We finally made it. How many more 100-degree days are we going to have? Hopefully none. All right, but I'm talking about ambassadors for Christ today. It's something that every one of us should have a lot of interest in because that's what God calls you. So it's important for us to be able to understand what this means to be an ambassador for Christ. As we're here on our Edgemere Mission Sunday, and this will be a little bit different. I try to change up and not just have a trip report, but we will have a couple guest speakers coming up here in a little bit. But over the last several months, I've been thinking about what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. We went to Belize about 3 weeks ago. We tried to go in July with a much larger team, but an early hurricane, in fact, the earliest Cat 4 hurricane on record, changed our plans. But that's happened. That happens sometimes. Sometimes delays are part of God's plan. And during this trip, our focus was on 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll have a chance to read that in just a few minutes, because that details about how important it is being an ambassador for Christ. And really, that focus for me, continuing to think about that, hasn't changed since we've returned. We're an ambassador for Christ 24/7, 365. That's your job as a Christian. Whether you go into mission field or whether Wichita Falls is your mission field, whether Edgemere neighborhood is your mission field, we must be ambassadors for Christ. Amen? So let's go ahead and get to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ compels us. Really, that can be a whole lesson right there, church. The love of Christ compels us. Everything that we talk about after this, it's because the love of Christ compels us. So again, does it compel you? As we continue to read on, reflect upon that. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, speaking about Jesus. That those who live, all of us, church, should no longer live for themselves, for ourselves, but for him, but for Jesus, who died for them, who died for us, and rose again. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't judge by the way they used to look or by the way they look. We used to judge that way, but that's not how we judge. We judge people the way that Jesus judges, that everybody has worth. Everybody has value. All right, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. And the famous passage right here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For all of us that have put on Christ in baptism, this is the life that we are living. This is the life that we're supposed to be living. Again, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, every one of you that have been baptized, you are a minister of reconciliation. It's not just the people that have a title of minister on their doors in that office behind us that are ministers. Every Christian is a minister. Every Christian is a minister of reconciliation. Every Christian is an ambassador for Christ. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. See, we couldn't do it on our own. Just like we don't get these titles on our own. You don't earn the title of ambassador. You don't earn the title of minister of reconciliation. God gives it to you and expects you to serve him. Again, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And get this. Entrusting to us, entrusting to you and me, the message of reconciliation, right? The Almighty God, the all-present God, the all-knowing God, he is asking you, giving you a job, giving me a job, and we're supposed to carry that out. Let's keep going. The last passage right here, last verse. Therefore, because because of everything that Paul just wrote. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is making his appeal through us. And so our message to the world has to be, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's a message that you have to have written in your heart, church. That's a message that you need to take to the dying and lost world. Have you ever thought about what it means to be an ambassador for Christ? Bottom line up front, again, if we're wearing the name Jesus, then Christ, then God, then the Holy Spirit, they expect us to be an ambassador for him. So again, what does it really mean to be an ambassador for Christ? And again, this is a title that's given to us out of grace. We can't earn it. We can't do that at all. We're insufficient, but God is sufficient. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. The apostle, of course, was writing to the church in Corinth, right? But this literally pertains to every single one of us that professes Christ as Savior. If you're a follower of Jesus, then this is who you are. So make sure you're walking down the path that God created for you to walk down. Again, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You see that on that next slide. And according to Scripture, it's our assignment to appeal to others. Do you get that? I'm supposed to appeal to you, which means I kind of have to get to know you. I have to care about you. I have to love you. I'm not just supposed to yell at you to be saved. I'm supposed to make an appeal to your senses to understand what motivates you and to share Jesus with you. Can't do that being rude. Can't do that being cold. In fact, you can only do it really with the love of Christ. But according to this scripture, our assignment is to appeal to others and to share Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. That next passage that we see here in Paul's logic, divine logic, is now he's saying, we implore you on Christ's behalf. You're not speaking on your own accord. You have a message from God that he wants you to deliver. To everybody that's in your life that is lost, that message is you're supposed to implore to them to be reconciled to God. Implore literally means to beg them to get right with God. As Christians, we know there's only two paths, a path to life through Jesus and a path to death without Jesus. It is that serious of a job that God has entrusted us, literally, to beg people. That's what we're supposed to do because we know what the final outcome is. And if they're not on Team Jesus, the winning team, then it's going to be horrible for them. And church, you wouldn't want to wish that on your worst enemies. In fact, the opposite, we're praying for our enemies. Let's pause a minute. Let's pause and reflect a moment to consider the magnitude of what God is calling you to do today and tomorrow. And if he gives you the breath of life on Tuesday and Wednesday, then that's your focus on Tuesday and Wednesday and every day until he either comes back or he takes you home. Let's bow our heads for a moment and have a moment of silence about each of our jobs, each of our responsibilities as an ambassador for Christ. Let's take a moment. Lord, you're the creator of the universe. You're the sustainer of everything. You are our Savior. Yet, you ask us to represent you on your divine mission to save the world. You entrust us with the precious gospel of Jesus, The fact that he came down from heaven, he lived a perfect life, he died for our sins, he was buried and he raised again, and he went back to you to prepare a place for us. You've given us that message. And this is a part of, a monumental part of the process of salvation within our communities. We thank you for that. And Father, we are not worthy, but as your servants, we accept your grace and we pray that your will be done. So Father, empower each one that's in this room today to take on the name and the role of ambassador for Christ with a great level of respect and seriousness. And it's in all this, in the mighty name of Jesus, that I pray. Amen. Let's dig a little bit deeper. Let's see what this ambassador means. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's this word right here, tzir. That's the word for ambassador. And they understood this because this was a concept that they understood because you had ambassadors for the king. And literally, this definition here is the one who goes on an errand. Church, y'all aren't on an errand. Do you like going on errands? Well, you're on one right now. You're on an errand from God. Every one of you, every one of us are on an errand of the King of the universe. That's literally what we're called to do. And again, this wasn't a new concept to anyone who had been following the one true God when this was written in the first century AD. The Hebrew Bible used that term ambassador for many purposes, including forming alliances with warring or with enemies, seeking favors of others, protesting injustice, showing kindness and sympathy. That's what ambassadors were used for, congratulating others. That's what ambassadors were also used for. So the Old Testament is replete for all of these different examples. And now it comes to us in the New Testament. We are now ambassadors of the King, not an earthly king, but the eternal heavenly King. And we're on an errand to tell people about Jesus. Our mission as ambassadors is the Great Commission. Again, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus is in charge. He has all authority, and he's given us four tasks to go, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and continue to teach all things. And that can be intimidating, but Jesus promises us that he is going to be with us forever, forever. And so I love the picture of what the church is supposed to be. It's not a church that just gathers and comes together one day a week inside four walls and sings praises. No, that's not what the church, I mean, that's what we're doing today. And praise God for our opportunity to worship as he commands to us. But God has a mission for us every moment, every day. As ambassadors, we're representing King Jesus in order to do our part of the Great Commission. Again, remember, that's what he's entrusted us to do, both here, right here in Wichita County, and everywhere else. When you think about what that definition of an ambassador says, even from the secular sides, it's you are an official envoy or appointee. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. God has made you his appointee. Are you doing what he's told you to do? That's something that we all have to, that's something we have to desire to do, and then we have to do it. No one's going to do it perfect, and praise God for his grace. But it doesn't give me an opportunity to not do it. That's not an opportunity for any one of us. We simply can't say, no, I'll take salvation, Lord, but I don't want to be an ambassador. You don't get to make that choice. It was part of the terms of your agreement. I want salvation. Good. You're now an ambassador. Every single one of you. We're authorized messengers of Christ. Literally, we are on a mission from God. It's profound. Think about it. And now let me tell you about a couple other young men. I'm going to call up the first one here right now. We're going to have Brian Fitzgerald. These young men, one little bit younger than the other. But Brian was only baptized a few years ago, back in 2021, I believe, right, Brian? And here he is. He's already gone on a foreign mission trip. So he's going to talk and give you a few slides and share with you what he learned as an ambassador for Christ on a mission field. And again, your mission field might be right here. Brian was and his wife, Mackenzie, were able to go down to Belize with us a few weeks ago. So let him share a little bit on five slides on what he's learned and what he wants to share with you.
Okay. Well, like Stephen, like, this is just crazy, right, that you're down there staring at me and I'm up here looking at you all awkwardly. But yeah, I was baptized August 22nd, 2021, just 3 short years ago, and I would have had not even a thought that I would have done that trip and that I would even be up here letting all of you know what we were doing down there. It's just fascinating to me. But as Stephen was saying, you don't have to be a seasoned Christian or a well-read theologian or anything like that to do missions. This is don't let being new scare you out of going and doing something like that, because it is truly life-changing. So why did we go? Well, we're just curious to see how God works on those trips, and we wanted to be a part of it. After all, that is what we're called to do, each and every one of us, if we're able and willing. And we wanted to offer ourselves to those kids and the people down there in Belize in any way that we could, and we were blessed enough to be able to do that. And we had an itinerary, you know, we had a list of things that we were going to do. We had VBS and church on Sunday and everything like that. So we knew what we were going to do, but we really didn't know what we were getting into, but it was great. And there's a nice picture up there of us with everybody. Okay, so stories to share. This one story I wanted to share has to do with this picture right here. It's a little schoolhouse right outside of the main church building. But these boys in this room were just crazy. And it was great. They would get excited. They would get going. And they start speaking Creole. And we don't understand a single thing that they can say. So what we know, some of it wasn't that great, because lucky for us, we had Brittany there, one of the members there at the church. And she would go, okay, guys, let's be nice. So whatever they were saying, I don't know. But that whole experience right there, just being there with them and seeing them, just so full of life and joy. Kind of crazy. On Facebook, I just saw a graphic of just the living wage in Belize. It's about $514 a month, right? Minimum wage they had at about $2 an hour. But their standard of living is just way different than ours. But there's still joy to be found there. Okay, God at work. So how did we see God at work down in Belize? I'll say it was Sunday. We had VBS Friday, Saturday. And that, I mean, obviously the kids want to do that. It's a lot of fun. But Sunday, I would say, is kind of like the optional thing for the kids to do down there. We told them all, we invited them for Sunday. I'll be honest, I wasn't really expecting many of them to show up, but to my surprise, they showed up, right? No games to be played, nothing like that, but they sat in church, and they were very just diligent listening to the word that Stephen preached that day. It's pretty beautiful. I mean, that kid right there in that picture standing right below me, we don't really know what his name was. Day one, he said his name was Neymar. He's definitely a soccer fan. And then a couple days later, he said his name was KJ, so we'll just call him KJ. But him specifically, Thursday, he was in that small room, and he was one of those kids, just kind of troublemaker, I guess, just being loud, obnoxious, whatever. And then you could see that progression in him by Sunday. He was there. He took it upon himself to be there. His parents didn't bring him. He was there on his own. He sat through the service, stayed after the service, and he watched our two baptisms that we had down there as well. And he was very into what was going on in that moment. So he knew it was important, and it was a beautiful thing to see. Okay. Are we going back? Yeah. That's easy. Next. Why should you go? It's like nothing that you've ever experienced. I would suggest at least going on one, right? You can make up 1,000 reasons to talk yourself out of going, but I would highly suggest you at least try it, right? It opens your eyes and heart to the work our Lord is doing and has given us an added bit of courage, even sharing the word here locally as well. And the fellowship, right, that picture is a great picture. The fellowship we had down there is just something that I don't think you can get here locally, right? You're just, Steve and I were talking about it this week, preparing for this. It's kind of, if you've been in the military, it's kind of like that deployment type situation. You're away from home, and you're out there working, and it just builds those relationships even stronger than you would normally. And then lastly, I'll just leave you with this. It was truly a blessing to be able to go on the trip. Also the opportunity to see how God works on these trips. And we're looking forward to more. Thank you.
Praise God, man. Come on. And now we have one of our younger members, part of Logan's youth group. And we're excited to have Anthony up here. Now, Anthony, how old are you?
I'm 15.
15 years old. Now, how many mission trips have you gone on?
This is my second.
He's already gone on 2 mission trips, all right? Praise God for that. All right, who'd you go with the first time in 2023?
My grandma.
All right, and who's your grandma?
Robin.
All right, so Robin went last year, and then who went with you this year? But your mom, so you're taking folks along and you've learned a lot. I'm going to kind of do a little bit of an interview here. And so, again, let me ask you this. What's more scary and intimidating, talking to a group of 250 people or going to Belize?
Well, I would probably say Belize.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. You're calm then. You're going to be a good preacher one day. All right, so why did you want to go? Why did you go?
Well, most importantly, we're called to do so. And my first trip that I went on back in 2023, it was just, I saw how it impacted the kids, and it even impacted me, and how we impacted the Belize children down there. And most importantly, we had fun down there with all those guys and girls, and we even served with them every day. And we love being able to share Jesus with them.
Absolutely. So who are these guys in this picture over here on the left?
The one on the left, the taller one, his name was Mordecai. He is 17 years old. And the one in the middle is Arlo. He is 12 years old.
And what were you doing in that picture down on the bottom where it looks like you're eating something next to plumbing?
Well, I was actually biting tape off.
Okay. You
know, like tearing the tape. We actually had to fix a pipe because a little kid stepped on it, but that's okay.
Hey,
we fixed it.
So that's what you're doing. You're working and you're serving the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We can go to stories to share.
And God-impacting was Arlo and Mordecai's baptism. Mordecai, he actually waited for us to go down there and to get baptized. He was going to get baptized that summer, but he found out that it was delayed and we were going to go down there soon after. So he got baptized as soon as we got there that Sunday. And Arlo, he had no plan to get baptized, and I felt that it touched his heart to get baptized, and that's what God wanted him to do, was to get baptized.
Amen. And both of those young men have grown up in the church. And in fact, Billy Harrington has had a major influence on the one on the left, Mordecai. Mordecai's even going through his electrical training because Billy had the ability to work with him and have him tag along, handing him the tools 8-10 years ago. And Billy gave him that encouragement to go into electrical. So he's not going to be someone who's carrying on in poverty in this third world country. Mordecai is going to be someone who's going to be able to do a wonderful thing because he's going to be an electrician. So praise God for that. All right, next slide.
All right, how I saw God work in that mission trip was, well, as you can see in this picture, you can see everyone's active always. There's no one sitting down and just, you know, bored. You'll see little kids, big kids, everywhere. They'll be everywhere. It'll be loud, it will, but in a good way. It'll be in a good way. And another way how I saw God at work was Arlo. I'm going to mention him again. He didn't have any plan to get baptized until he saw God working, and he saw Mordecai get baptized. And I think that encouraged him, and I think God just touched his heart to get baptized that day.
That's right. Because we've been talking to Arlo even the previous year, so it's something that he had been thinking about, but wound up being just the right time. And this is an example of the Vacation Bible School. You can just see they're all following Logan. They're doing what Logan is doing up there, and it is just a great, great time.
Are we going back? If God be willing, we would love to. It's so fun down there. It is just impacting. It'll be impacting on y'all, and it even impacted my mom and I.
Amen. Amen. And so why should everybody else go?
Well, honestly, the friendships that y'all make down there will last for a lifetime. They actually will. Mordecai and I, we started talking last year when I first went. And as soon as I got there, we just started off on a conversation. Like, we've been talking, like, almost every year, like all year. And we didn't have to start over or anything. We just, you know, it was like a normal friendship that we would have here. And we all have the same needs. Everyone, all of us down there, here. And we even got to take them to Old Belize, which is in Water Park, as you can see in this picture.
And then now the youth group that is able to go with us, and that water park is just 10 minutes away from the church going towards Belize City. Have any of the youth group ever been there before?
That was their first time.
Right. Because, again, even at like $5 for admission, they're not going to ever have that, you know, basically be able to go. So everybody that we would take, even on a fun afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, after worship, after a fellowship meal, we just took them down to the water park with us, and they had a really wonderful and blessed time.
And I also want to mention another thing. I'm going to mention Billy again. Mordecai, it was 9 years ago when Billy Harrington encouraged Mordecai and showed Mordecai and opened his eyes to be an electrician. And this year is his last year of going to electricity school.
Yeah.
And so if you go down there, you will impact a kid's life. No, like you will. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you so much. Again, let's give a big round of applause. Thank you so much. And y'all are going to do many, many great years of kingdom work. And we thank you for sharing with us today. And so you can go to that next slide, a little Belize sign picture to show our team. And we were supposed to have 18 people, but when it got delayed, we wound up having a smaller team, just 8 of us, just without me in this picture. But we're going again next year. We've already got the hotel rooms reserved. 5 through 11 July, if you want to be able to go Saturday through Friday, come on down. Come talk with me about it. Come talk with other people that you know have gone before. But again, I'm so proud of these younger people. In general, we had a young group that went with us. They took a leap of faith. We've had a lot of people that have gone on their first international mission trip with us this past year, and we're very, very thankful for that. But again, you can be an ambassador for Christ everywhere you go, every day that God blesses you with the breath of life. And again, remember, as ambassadors of the Most High, we live to serve Him and serve others. And again, remember, we can't do that any other way other than love. We must serve others in love just like Jesus did. Remember, it's the love of Christ that compels us. I challenge you, do you find yourself being compelled by the love of Christ to go out and serve others? That's what he expects from us. Again, our motivation, it's the love of Christ. And Jesus expressed love in many ways. He loved the lost. All right? That was all of us at one time. Jesus wept over the lost. He loved the outcast. He didn't hate the outcast. He loved the outcast. In fact, a lack of love angered God. It angered Jesus. And he proved his love for all of us on the cruel cross at Calvary. So again, because he loved us, we must love him and love others. What's our motto? Love Jesus, love others, change the world. That's what it means to be an ambassador. Because we're not changing it by our standards, we're changing it to God's standards. And so when it comes to your personal ministry, whatever that is, whatever God has blessed you with to serve others, your assignment's going to be different than mine, and mine will be different than yours. But all of us have the goal of pointing others that are lost to Jesus as Savior. That's what we're doing. Every one of us have that same mission, but how we do it, it's going to be different. At some time, my time of running errands for the Lord is going to come to an end. I don't get to do this forever, but God's going to want me to have fruit associated with being on an errand for the King. God's going to expect me to bear fruit in this mission of pointing others to the Lord. We get to wear the title of ambassador for Christ, but it comes with a cost. The cost is to deny ourselves daily. The cost is the old way of my life is gone. The new has come. I'm living for him. We get to serve him. It's not we have to serve him. We get to serve him because it's the love of Christ that compels us. It's what should compel you and me to greater levels of love and service. So, church, I want to run an errand for the Lord. That's our mission. That's what you and I do as ambassadors for Christ. Let's be the best ambassadors that we possibly can be. Got to have love at the forefront, and I know that God, his Spirit, will guide us along the way to be able to say the right thing at the right time to the right people. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you haven't yet found your place in ministry, come talk to us. We have ministries all over the place, all over town and all over the world. All right? We can get you involved. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ to wash away your sins, then church, if I'm talking to you, then today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. You're missing out on the blessings of being a child of God. Put your belief, your trust, and your faith in him through confession, through repentance, through baptism. But again, church, I'm thrilled to be able to give you a little bit of an update today on what it means to be an ambassador for Christ during our Mission Sunday. And here in just a few minutes after we stand and sing, the ministers and the elders will be in the back, standing ready to assist in you with whatever need that you have. God bless you.